Tuesday afternoon, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he joins us now as he's getting ready for game two tonight in Boston. What's up, brother?
What is going on? I just finished a clam chowder, New England clam chowder. We went with the tuna burger today over at one of my favorite spots, kind of a chain in Boston, but Legal Seafood, one of the absolute best places you can go to on the Eastern Seaboard. And I'm feeling good. I got my lunch in. I'm good.
New England clam chowder. Now, is that the red or the white?
No, I go with the white. You got to go with the white. You got to go with the cream-based clam chowder, I think. The red one's the broth. It's good. I like it, but I think the real clam chowder, you got to go with the New England. It's the white.
Neither one of you, Ace Ventura, is that the red or the white? Oh, I can never remember that. No, not ringing any bells. It's the password.
It's been a long time.
Not hit me right now. It's been a little while.
Ace Ventura. Okay, well, hey, by the way, you're obviously a national star.
How do they have a burger made out of tuna?
What's it? Tell them, Adam.
Well, no, they take tuna, and they turn it into a patty, and they cook it up. They add a little bit of crumbs to
secure it. That's a sandwich.
It
ain't a burger.
It's a sandwich. Whatever.
Tuna sandwich.
They put it on like a burger. It's not like a burger burger buns, basically, like nice toast. They got a little lettuce and tomato, a little bit of this spicy mayonnaise. It's really, really good, so Tried to keep it a little leaner. I was thinking about going to fish and chips. Went a little leaner with the tuna burger.
I like the tuna burger. Now, listen, if he would have said I had a tuna sandwich, you would have had no idea what he had.
It could be a tuna salad sandwich. I understand.
Yeah, it's almost like a tuna steak. You know, almost like a tuna steak, but they put it into they make it into a patty like a burger. So
more for you, less for me.
So
I'm happy with that.
Adam is obviously a national star on ESPN and all the different things he does. But man, you have really. The last 7 to 10 days or so have been huge for you in Oklahoma. I want to brag on you a little bit, but Bill Haston, very good friend of the station and friend of ours, he had an article about you talking about your great year you've had in the Tulsa world. Then Eric Horn over the weekend had a great piece on you talking about, you know, all the things from your favorite call, your road to the top, origins of your name. So, man, the state of Oklahoma, as they should, showing my boy a lot of love. Makes me feel good.
Well, I'm lucky, man. We got good. You got great people in the state. You got awesome writers. You got awesome media people. You got wonderful, passionate people that care about their sports. And I'm not just saying that. Every time I've gone to Oklahoma for whatever, whether it's going for the Women's World Series, like I'll be there in a couple of weeks for, whether it's doing Thunder games, going down for an Oklahoma game, whatever it's been, everybody's treated me so well, and it's been awesome being able to work with you the last year. Just being able to get a little bit more acclimated with the fine folks that you guys work with every single day. So it's awesome. I appreciate it. I really do.
No one's given the Celtics a whole lot of credit throughout the playoffs, except like after the game, everybody talks about the Celtics players, about how Brad Stevens is a wizard and all this stuff, but they just continue to win. I would think tonight they're barely a favorite. Like a 1-point favorite. The script writers have LeBron winning this game and the Cavs going on to the finals, but I'm not so sure that the Celtics are just better than everybody thinks.
You know, listen, here's the thing. Everybody was talking about Boston, especially during the Philly series, like they were like a bunch of slack-jawed yokels who never played basketball before. And it's like, guys, Al Horford is a 5-time All-Star, and he'd probably have a couple of more of those if not for some injuries in Atlanta. Like, this guy's one of the better centers in the NBA. I'm not saying he's Anthony Davis. I'm not saying he's a cornerstone piece to a franchise, but he's one of the best centers in the NBA. As versatile as it comes, one of the best passers for his size at his position, excellent three-point shooter. He's been on fire the whole playoffs, but we've come to expect that from him. These young guys, Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, have stepped up in a huge way, but these are already guys, and I talked to Brad Stevens about this, these are guys that came in coached up well in their college, you know, whether it was a short amount of time or not. They came from good programs with good coaches, and they were ready to play at the NBA level. They just needed the opportunity. A guy like Terry Rozier just needed the opportunity to do some things at this level. Now, would they be better if Kyrie Irving was healthy? Yeah, of course. He's too talented of a guy. He's a perennial All-Star. He's an NBA champion. He's going to be, you know, he's got potential Hall of Famer in his future if he keeps on this upward trajectory. Would they be better with Gordon Hayward? I would think so. But they were pretty good without Hayward the whole year. They didn't have him for more than 6 minutes in the first game. So they're a good team. They've been a good team all year. And even without Kyrie Irving, you're giving opportunities to guys that were ready to at least take a step towards those opportunities, Brown and Tatum specifically, and I would say Rozier as well, who was behind Kyrie Irving. So this isn't a team made up of guys that weren't ready. And this has also been one of the best defensive units in the NBA this year. And with the combination of those things and Brad Stevens being as smart of a coach as we have in the NBA, this is a really flexible, versatile roster that can do a lot of different things and cause problems in different ways. They're a really good basketball team, and I think they're still the number two seed in the East. Like, LeBron's the best player, and superstars often win series in the playoffs, but this is one of the best top-to-bottom units I think we have in the NBA.
What's the password?
New England clam chowder.
There it is. It's a good movie. It's a really
nice
good movie.
Nice job. Is that Josh back there handling that?
That's right.
Good work, man.
That's well done. Okay, so let's look at the other side of the coin, the Cleveland side. Now, you called several games in the round one series against the Pacers, so you saw some good, some bad. You called a couple of games in the Toronto series, so you saw quite a bit of good. With all that rest, what I was so surprised about was the demeanor that Cleveland had, the lack of energy, the lack of aggressiveness, especially by LeBron. Did that surprise you? Did you see that same thing when I expected in game one in a hostile territory in the Boston Garden? You know you got to show up with your hair on fire. It was anything but that for Cleveland. I didn't like that at all.
Dusty, you texted me after the game on Sunday, and you said that to me, and I'm like, that was the thing that surprised me the most by far of anything we saw. The lack of legs in Cleveland, no hustle, more than a couple of plays, really, it felt like, to get back to the defensive end of the floor. And listen, this is the problem with Cleveland, and it's a big problem with Houston. Notice what happened in last night's game with the Rockets. They made shots early in the game, and look how competitive they were on the defensive end the rest of the way. I mean, that was a competitive 3.5 quarters on the defensive end of the floor. Obviously, it got away from them with Durant, and he went off. But look how aggressive they were and strong they were on the defensive end because they made shots early in a game. Houston has that problem where if they lack offensively early, they get sluggish on defense, and Cleveland has the exact same problem. So they didn't make those 4 or 5 open three-point looks early, and all of a sudden J.R. Smith is disengaged at the defensive end. Korver gets disengaged. And then I'm looking at what you just talked about, guys. LeBron looks so passive again, and he's done that in game one of the Indiana series. He was very passive, and they got down early, and it was pretty much blowout from there. I do expect a response here in game two. I expect LeBron, who, by the way, to your point, 4 drives to the basket. 4 for LeBron James. The only 4 drives. That's incredible. That was a playoff low for him. I expect that to be amped up here in game two. I expect them to be better defensively, and if they make shots early, I do expect this to be a close game. But let's not forget, LeBron could score 45, and he's averaged 44.5, 43.5 in the game two so far in the playoffs. He could score 45 tonight, and they could still lose. Unless he gets some help, Kevin Love's got to play better if he's going to be matched up with Al Horford. Kyle Korver's got to make these open looks that he had. He had a couple of them early. J.R. Smith was doing a lot of ISO. I was very surprised with the lackluster effort I saw from Cleveland in game one, and I expect much better tonight in game two.
Yeah, the Rockets' goose is cooked, but I don't think the Cavs' goose is cooked just yet. They just lost one game. They lost that bad to the Pacers. And so the shooting performance was atypical, low, and outlier for Cleveland. They're going to hit some shots tonight.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that Boston, man, they're so good as a team, and they're doing everything well, and they've got some good pieces on that roster. That
Marcus Morris is a key,
I think. How about another Marcus? Marcus, you know, the name of greatness.
Marcus Smart.
Yeah. He's playing
truly,
good
truly
too.
Great. You know what? I give him a lot of credit. I give Marcus Morris a lot of credit. And everybody kind of shrugged him off, you know, before the series when he's like, hey, I'm the guy who's guarded LeBron the best outside of Kawhi Leonard. And listen, whether you believe that or not, whether it's true or not, if you don't go in talking like that into a series against LeBron James, you've already lost. You have to have that sense of belief that you can and will hang with LeBron James for a whole game. Now, is it going to happen tonight? Like I said, I don't know. LeBron was relatively passive in game one as well, settling for a lot of jump shots and turning the ball over too much. I don't expect that from him tonight, but you have to go in with that mindset to know, that you have that ability. Marcus Morris held LeBron to 2 of 9 from the floor when he was his main defender. That's a great job against LeBron James. When you have to believe that you can do something like that. I agree with you, by the way, Mark. I do think that the Rockets are probably done in 5 at best, because it's the same thing we just talked about. They run too much isolation. They don't have enough to guard on the defensive end against Durant and all the other guys. I think that at best, that's probably a 5-game series. But here, if Cleveland wins tonight, I think that this sets them up for the rest of the series. I think the winner of this game tonight could honestly win the series. I think this is a huge game tonight here in Boston. If Cleveland gets this, they've done their job. You take away home court from a young team, force them to go on the road where they have not been nearly as good in the playoffs. They're averaging up 110.5 points a game at home in the playoffs are the Boston Celtics. They're 8-0. On the road, they're 1-4, and they dip down into the 90s offensively. So there is a major difference with young guys going on the road in the playoffs, especially in a conference final compared to home. So if Cleveland wins tonight, that's a huge, huge step towards getting back to the finals.
Tristan Thompson is married to a Kardashian. That comes with mental and physical instability. I mean, you just have to live with that. Tyronn Lue has to understand it. But I thought it was weird that Tyronn Lue, after the game, or I guess it shoot around yesterday or the practice, said that that Tristan Thompson is the best in the league at defending Al Horford, but yet really didn't employ that strategy in the first game. Is he saving it for tonight? I mean, what did they not use Tristan Thompson in the first game of the series the way they should have?
Well, I agree with you on that, and that's a question that we had. I thought going into this series that's going to be the most important matchup. It's Horford against Love or Horford against insert player here, because the thing about the second round against Toronto, Kevin Love absolutely torched Jonas Valanciunas, and Valanciunas is a beast down low, but he cannot guard out on the perimeter. Al Horford ain't Jonas Valanciunas. Al Horford guards the perimeter for a center as well as any center in the NBA. And he has contested more shots in the playoffs than any other player. He gets out on the perimeter. He has 18 blocks. He's blocked shots out on the three-point line. He's blocked shots in the paint. He's blocked the mid-range. He had 2 more the other night in game 1. He is a great perimeter defender. So Kevin Love's job just became a lot harder in this round. Kevin Love in the 3 games that he's participated against Boston this year, he's 1 of 11 from the floor when Al Horford has guarded him, including 0-for-2 the other day. And by the way, Love didn't do that well against Tatum, Brown, or Smart, or Rozier either. He had a bad game in general. But Al Horford is the X factor. Al Horford really struggled last year in the Eastern Conference Finals because he was matched up against Tristan Thompson. Ty Lue has really loved the small lineup with Kevin Love at the 5, and it's an effective lineup, but it was very effective against Toronto. But I thought in this series, it wasn't going to be as effective because of Horford. Now you put Thompson in at the 5, move Love back to his natural spot at the 4. Now you start to put in some matchups that maybe you're not a fan of if you're Boston. Obviously, Thompson has to defend guards if he gets into a switch when he's playing the 5. But last year, he did a pretty good job of that. He's not a bad defender. He's not as good as Horford, but he's a good defender against guards. So I think Thompson's going to have to be a bigger factor. He's the only offensive rebounding factor that Cleveland had in game 1, and frankly, the only really good offensive rebounder they have. So he's got to be a big factor tonight, and I think he will be.
Thanks for educating me on the difference in a tuna sandwich and a tuna burger.
There you go.
You put it into patty form. You put the spices in there, a little breadcrumb. It's beautiful.
He's like a professor when it comes to food. Professor Amin, he'll be on the call tonight. Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in Boston. Enjoy the garden tonight. We'll talk again soon, my man.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.